Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thanks for joining us today. I feel a little gun shy for some reason.
It's weird that we can't see each other though, isn't it?
It is. And I'm like, I have apprehension since the last time we recorded this way. We thought it was a full episode, and then you listened, and it was only like a quarter of an episode.
We lost half of the content of our guest, and I was so annoyed. So I'm in Mexico City, you guys, right now,
and I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh yeah, whenever I get on an airplane, it's like it gives me prime editing time because I have to sit there, you know, and I'm like, okay. I'm going to just dedicate myself to editing right now. So I was so pissed when I was in that plane and halfway through the freaking audio was gone on Tamara. I was so upset, Christy.
I know.
And I couldn't like call you or text you. And I was like, God damn it. But anyway, it is what it is. We'll have to re-record that one. But yeah, I'm in Mexico City. It's warm here. It's lovely. I'm in my mother-in-law and father-in-law's closet. They have a nice walk-in closet, so everything works nicely here.
Excellent. I am also in the closet. It is also hot here, so we have so much in common.
Yeah, it's hot. It is hot in this closet. So it's just like old times.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we should get to this because something tells me we're going to have a lot to talk about with David.
Yes, we have a guest today. There's three of us in the closet, so to speak.
I don't know if David's in a closet.
Huh? He's not in a closet. He's in an office. So today's guest is, and I want to make sure I say your last name right, David, so you unmute yourself now so that you can correct me, but David DiVincenzo?
It's close. DiVincenzo.
Italiano. I was even doing the hand, like the Italian hand movement, the universal Italian, like DiVincenzo. Okay. Yeah. David DiVincenzo out of Detroit. Which makes me feel like a badass whenever I say that for some reason. Like, oh, Detroit.
Hello, Detroit.
Yeah, I think Detroit has this like reputation for those of us who have never been there of being like super cool, but also gritty. Yeah. And like awesome stuff comes out of it, but also maybe it's a little bit dangerous. And these are all just total, like absolute stereotypes that I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the venue that David works at is Plantera Events, Plantera Events.com. We'll include all the links and photos as usual. David has been directing events for Plantera clients since 2010. He designs every aspect of a Plantera event, from its menu to decor, floral needs, and every detail in between to make the client's visions come to life. David brings with him 15 years of professional experience in arts, fundraising, programming, and event planning. He's worked at such prestigious places as the Pace McGill Gallery, the Noguchi Museum, and one of Estee Lauder's family foundations in New York. David is a graduate of both Albion College and Brooklyn College. He also attended the Atelier Leo March. Okay, you're going to have to do that one.
That's in French.
Atelier, you do it, David.
The Atelier Leo Marchuts.
In?
Aix-en-Provence.
Aix-en-Provence, France. In his free time.
S'il vous plaît.
Alex Patrick, my brother and his partner, spent a lot of time in Provence when they lived in London. Apparently, it's really pretty there. Or something. In his free time, David has developed a deep understanding of wine and art. He's also Plantera Conservatory's resident pop culture expert. Yes. Well, welcome, David.
Thank you.
Welcome to the podcast. So your publicist or PR person, mm-hmm. she initially emailed us, and the pitch was, you need to have David on the podcast because he knows a ton about weddings and he works at this super cool venue. But specifically, we think a topic, which is always nice when people come with an actual topic to pitch.
I know. Because
otherwise we're like, yeah, he sounds great. What specifically can we talk about with him? And then we have to brainstorm back and forth. But your girl, Stephanie, she was ready and she
got your back, man.
Yeah, pitched this idea of focusing on and talking about short-term wedding planning. So we're talking about a 90-day planning process. That is the topic of today's podcast, how basically to plan your entire wedding in 3 months or less. So we're going to dive into all of the like tips and tricks and best practices for that, and also what kind of couple, what type of couple, what qualities a couple might have that makes them a candidate for a short-term wedding planning, and some of the pros and cons. But before that, we want to hear about you, David, and your origin story. It seems like you've traveled a lot and how you came to be there.
Well, I sort of left Detroit in 1999. I didn't come back until 2010, which is really typical for a lot of people in kind of my age group. The recession kind of had hit Detroit multiple times and always lasted a little longer than other places. So a lot of creatives, people in the arts, kind of that background sort of departed for points in time. And when I was in New York, I was at one point in grad school, always my background was more the visual arts. But I was always kind of pragmatic. So at one point I was kind of in a PhD program for art history. But I was always working in galleries, working in museums, organizations, primarily initially doing more things like artist liaison, gallery openings, exhibition openings, programming, and then transitioned more into development, fundraising, galas. Had an amazing time, met amazing people, worked with, you know, fantastic artists and, you know, people on board of trustees. And then family reasons brought me back to Detroit right at the end of 2009. Initially, it was going to be a temporary scenario, sort of realized it was going to be a little bit longer term. And then I was kind of looking for my place, went with some arts organizations in Detroit. Nothing was really the right fit. And at that time, they were kind of starting the events at Plantera. There was one or two events before I began. They kind of saw it as a kind of potential growth opportunity. And the first few years we did events, we kind of operated differently than we do now. So initially we worked with multiple caterers, multiple valet companies, you know, multiple rental companies. It was a little more like an alternative space where the clients themselves took on a little more. And then at the end of that kind of year or two, we really thought about how we operate, how we work, chose the best kind of vendor partners. And then we kind of created the formula we have now, where essentially the food and beverage, with the exception of a wedding cake, event design, floral, linens, rentals, valet, all of that is through us. And so for many of our couples, all they really need to kind of book vendor-wise is, you know, officiant, DJ, photographer, do their print materials, and they can sort of walk into a wedding experience where a lot of the big pieces were kind of partnering with them, taking a little bit off their shoulders.
So everything related to the functions of the venue go through you.
Correct.
And your vendors. Oh, correct. Interesting. Okay, so that streamlines the process a bit. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask, what did you start there as? Because it seems like you guys sort of regrouped after that first year to figure out the best way to do weddings. But what was your role initially?
We were venue. We helped facilitate more vendor coordination. We had always been the florist. And then we helped facilitate as best we could. And then really day of, we did a lot of vendor coordination, a lot of logistical components.
So you thought you're doing all this anyway. You might as well do it with the partners that you love working with the most and that do it most successfully.
Correct. And in that process, we did, you know, gain our liquor license through the state of Michigan. On the catering end, you know, our partner who is Forte Bellinger, they're just fantastic at off-premise catering. You know, we don't have a kitchen for every single wedding. It is that kind of combo, you know, gourmet food truck and pop-up, and every fork and knife and, you know, spoon gets rented in, and the hot boxes and the grills. And it is a production, and they just are sort of the best at it in the Detroit area. And amazing servers and a great menu and a great culinary team. And it took a lot of stress out of the equation, more importantly for the couples, but also for us. When we were working with five or six different caterers, it was like reinventing the wheel, you know, almost every time there was a wedding. We didn't have control over some of the rentals and the staffing. So, you know, if a caterer didn't inform a bride correctly and she's short-staffed on the service end, all of a sudden dinner is an hour long when it shouldn't be. So we really wanted to pull in all those logistical back-of-house things that are not sexy, that are not fun in terms of a couple, and allow them to make decisions and do more design things and make their experience just much more effortless.
So then the caterer that you use, I mean, let's say you get a cultural wedding, an Indian wedding, and they want traditional food. What happens then?
We have two scenarios. So in one scenario, the food and beverage minimum has to be met. And for a little bit larger event, it might be that simply through bar service, bartenders, and great wine that is met, and you could bring in, you know, an Indian caterer, for example. Most of our couples, and part of this is just because of our event capacity, you know, the largest we could ever do is 200 people. Okay. A lot of our cultural weddings are often intercultural. So like for one of our couples last year, the bride was Indian, the groom was non-Indian. We did partner with a local Indian caterer. And so what we did was during cocktail hour, we enhanced our menu with some fantastic, you know, Indian appetizers. They also did an Indian sweet table that sort of, you know, balanced out, you know, the rest of the menu. And a lot of our couples seem to go that route.
Mm.
I was wondering if you could tell us about Plantera? Like, it's not just, I mean, when I think of like an all-inclusive venue, I have a pretty specific idea in mind, and that is not what Plantera is. So if...
Oh, yeah. Create a visual. Speak to
give
us
our listeners
about what
an
it
idea
looks like and feels like. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Plantera as a company dates back further than the events do. In 1973, the Pliska family founded it as primarily an interior scape botanical plant-based company and doing phenomenal designs for offices, people's homes, beautiful atrium installations. And then as part of that design and plant process, our service technicians maintain it, guarantee the plants, keep it looking beautiful. And the building that we're in now, the conservatory, opened to the public essentially in 2009. And it was a combination, an acclimation growing warehouse for plants for that business, corporate offices, And then the front of house conservatory, which is sort of like featuring some of the specimen plants, the living wall that Larry Plista had been kind of having for many, many years. And also some portion of retail. And then the event sort of snuck in as well. So it's a glass structure. It was, the component parts were all imported from Belgium. It's a stone floor. It is on a cistern system. So all of our plant watering and things like that are on recycled rainwater. We have a beautiful Gabion stone arch with koi ponds, a massive living wall behind the bar.
And I love that.
A ton of gorgeous plants that, whether they look it or not, are technically tropical. So even in January in Detroit, you can basically have an evergreen, lush greenhouse wedding.
Greenery is so huge right now. I mean, I can imagine this was always a beautiful place to have a wedding, but right now people are bringing what you already have at the venue and doing that in other, or trying to replicate something like that with like a living wall or like, you know, all the greenery when you walk in and that botanical feel. And it reminded me when I saw the pictures online when Stephanie first got in touch with me about Poison Ivy from the Batman franchise. Because she didn't just have all those plants everywhere. She lived and thrived in that beautiful, like, indoor jungle environment. So that's kind of what Plantera reminded me of when I saw it. But I can see how couples can take it from something like boho and casual to black tie if they wanted to, because the building's so gorgeous.
Absolutely.
Going back to, okay, so you are full service. The couple that chooses to get married or have their event at Plantera is using the caterer that you exclusively use. And have you ever had anybody, I'm just curious, have you ever had anybody say like, we want to use this person, like, what can you do for us? Or, I mean, do you ever allow exceptions, or are you like pretty like, well, this is not the place for you then?
Well, we just kind of operate on that, that food and beverage minimum being met. So we all
know.
What
is the minimum, David?
Pardon?
What's the food and beverage minimum?
Well, on a Saturday, for example, that's, $17,500. And if you were having, you know, 175 guests, and you wanted a top shelf bar with a great number of service staff and some fantastic, you know, upgraded wines, you could potentially meet that and then still bring in kind of a caterer of your choosing. Most of our couples don't really go that route. Our food is really good. You know, the reviews speak for themselves in terms of fantastic service and wonderful food. And in particular, you know, when we do our menu tastings, we do them kind of seasonally at Chef's kind of culinary center, set them up like small weddings. So we do all the design, kind of have floral and linens and great rentals, maybe 50 people at a time. And they have this amazing experience, kind of, you know, past hors d'oeuvres, charcuterie stations, you know, multiple entrees, desserts, the wine, the champagne. And they're sort of sold. Because the experience is really wonderful.
And so planning a wedding within 90 days, does that happen a lot at Plantera, or is that just like something you have a lot of experience in?
The kind of idea for all this actually came, I would say it was maybe 4 years ago, had an amazing couple. And it just so happened that June 3rd, just sort of towards the end of our event season, we had a couple who had to cancel their date. And so the date had become available and it was beginning of March. And I met with the couple and they basically kind of said their story of, you know, we've been together more than 10 years. We really want to get married. We want to get married at Plantera. We don't want to wait till next year. Do you think we could take that June 3rd date and could a wedding happen? And I said, of course, why not? So we were, and initially saying that before I really thought it through. And then I kind of really sat down with the couple and I said, okay, here's how I think we can make this happen. And we sort of went through some of the big picture ideas. Are they ready for it? Are they prepared for it? Are they ready to make decisions? Can they really pull their guest list together? You know, how open are you to this experience? And they were the perfect couple for it. They go, listen, whatever we need to do to make this wedding happen on June 3rd, we can make this happen. And I said, then we can too, and we'll make this happen.
They already so had some qualities. Like, you knew that they were, like, they had been together for a while. They agreed on a lot of things. They knew what they wanted, and they were both down to give it a shot instead of one trying to convince the other, you know? Like, if one was apprehensive and the other partner was like, no, let's totally do it. They already had some of the qualities you knew could make this successful.
Absolutely. The couple needs to be on the same page and they need to be on board. And I've found, for the most part, when we've done the shorter term planning, whether that's 4 months, 5 months, 3 months, we have quite a few that will think about that, like maybe 4 or 5 month planning where maybe they want to get married before the end of 2019. And so if there are some dates open, you know, they really kind of make that happen. They tend to be couples who are pretty established in their lives, established with one another. They seem to have been together quite a while, and they want a beautiful wedding. They want an amazing celebration for their family, for their friends. But they have a touch of kind of practicalness to them, where they know they want something beautiful and amazing, and they want it done in a certain time frame. But they're also willing to say, you know what, if I can't have maybe initially this dream dress, I know there's a lot of beautiful dresses out there, and I know I can pick something that'll look beautiful on me that'll be amazing.
So that rare combination of knowing what they want, but also being flexible, in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
Michelle, have you been hired at all for weddings that were fully, like they hadn't done anything and they wanted a date 3 months out?
Not 3 months out, no.
I did 2 last year.
Really?
And they were both this exact couple that David's describing. Like, they lived together, they were older, they were professionals, basically, both of them thought, like, we want to have this great wedding. We want to celebrate with all the people that love us because we've been together for, you know, 5 or 10 years already. And we want this to be a big deal. But both of them had this really strong opinion, both these couples, of like, we don't want to spend a year planning this wedding. Like, we actively don't want to do that. So they came to me, and these were back-to-back weddings, and they both kind of said the same thing, which was like, can you help us do this in, you know, 2 months for one and 3 months for the other? If we're willing to like jump in, and, you know, I had to lay out some of the same outlines that David's talking about, like, are you going to make quick decisions? And can we get this guest list figured out and these things? And they answered yes, yes, yes. And we did it. And it was awesome. I loved working with couples in that time frame because there's not a lot of time to hem and haw.
I agree. It just, like you said, like, it just, the hemming and hawing, I think, takes up so much time and space that really isn't necessary.
Yeah.
David, so does this happen? So then that couple, that was the first time, and you did it within 3 months. Was there ever any, because I'm kind of, right now I'm planning for a couple. They hired me 7 months out, but we are having the hardest time, you guys. It's seriously getting, it's becoming a thing, finding a band. Did you have any problems finding, or did the couple have any problems finding any vendors that were available on a popular date such as that?
We always prepared them that realistically, if you only had one particular band in mind, and if your head, they were going to make or break your wedding, maybe the short-term planning isn't right.
And that's what's happening with my couple. Yeah.
We
talk about that some more.
We try our best anytime a couple's doing a shorter-term planning to, and regardless of when someone books a wedding, if they book a date 18 months out, we always say, most importantly, choose your vendors who are not us. And secure them so that you have a photographer, you know, DJ, your officiant, so that you know those things are squared away and that you can take a little break. For the ones who are planning shorter, I've often offered, you know, do you want me to reach out to XYZ photographer or so-and-so DJ? Know them, you know, I can send them a text so you're not going through maybe their wedding wire inquiry form that they might not get right away. And we try to help. We try to ask to be really open. There are so many photographers that I love in Michigan. And if someone said, no, is there only one person you would work with? The answer is no. There's so many amazing people, so amazing talent, great qualities. So I would say to them, you know, reach out to five photographers that you love. Mm-hmm. There's still a possibility, especially if it was a Friday or a Sunday, that they have availability. If you only like one photographer and you think that that one photographer is the only person who can capture your wedding the way you want it, then I guess you're building your wedding date around your photographer.
Yeah, their availability.
There are certain things that people get stuck on.
Yeah, so on that, we knowing that you just can't have your heart set on something very specific, even though you absolutely can and should. It's your wedding day and you're spending all this money.
Right.
But that is not a good combination with a short planning timeline, and compromises have to be made. So David, if you can run down, because we've touched on some of these already, but run down the tips and tricks that we outlined out or that you sent me. The first one being a full service venue such as Plantera. Of course that helps.
Well, it does. And, you know, I think obviously with the talent of an independent wedding planner, a lot of amazing things can be achieved. But let's face it, if you're trying to build an event from the ground up, the flooring to the lighting to the tent to the sound system to all of those components, much more challenging for even the most talented planner to achieve in a super short time frame. So in particular, if a couple's not engaging with an independent full-service planner, I think if you're not working with a full-service venue, I think you're setting yourself up for some difficulty and some stress that you don't really need.
And the time it takes to plan a wedding, if most people do it, let's say you don't have a planner, most people typically it's 9 to 12 months. That is hours a week that you're spreading out over 9 months. And if you want to do it on the quick for whatever reason, do you have a full-time job? Because you might not have time in the day to be making these calls. And I mean, even people that love it, like, you know, we get emails from clients or listeners, David, who are like, I'm loving every step of wedding planning. This is like what I just feel good at it. I'm confident. I love doing it. Even people who are organized and type A, you still have a real life. I mean, it is a lot to do in 3 months, or really it's half that, because by the second half, you're into details rather than the actual vetting and research and hiring. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's not just like, are you capable of making these decisions quickly, but it's also, do you have the time to dedicate to it without a full service planner or a full service venue helping you out?
And at Plantera, you act as the planner, David?
I act as the planner for what happens in our four walls. So I will work with them on layout, timeline, floral design, rentals, you know, guide them for menu and bar. Obviously, they need to think about all the things that are not us. So not just the vendors, but all of your print items, transportation, hotel blocks,
attire,
if you're doing welcome dinners or, you know, brunches. So there are all those components. And we don't handle that. And some people feel comfortable doing that on their own. Other people might engage a more logistical planner to help them with those things in any week of life and weekend kind of, you know, day of / weekend of coordination. In particular, they have many guests who are traveling in, and it's not just the wedding. They really sort of have agreed to host a decent sized wedding and two larger than average, you know, welcome dinners or, you know, Sunday brunches.
So listener, This is what we talk about a lot and what you see a lot at venues. David is the on-site coordinator. Whatever happens within those four walls is what David takes care of. And this is the difference that oftentimes people don't quite understand between hiring an independent wedding planner versus a venue that's full service and has you, which is completely, if you're going to go from nothing to having an on-site coordinator, like, this is the best scenario. But what David does, it's so perfect the way you explained it, is whatever happens within those four walls. So nothing in the morning, you know, when you're getting ready to transportation, and nothing afterwards. So thank you for kind of laying that out.
Oh, and also the difference between what David does versus a venue that has a manager on site. And they tell you that 3 months out when you're going to book the venue. Oh, yeah, we'll have, you know, Karen here on site for the entire thing. You have to ask a lot of questions, because just having somebody there, let's say, you know, maybe their title is venue manager, is not the same thing as having somebody walk you through the planning process. Yeah, I just wanted to make a note that not every venue has a David as a role, you know, but the full service ones do. Just have to ask a lot of questions.
And, you know, we staff what we consider appropriately. So I am kind of a main planning point of contact. We have a great administrative person. But on the day of their wedding, I am there. I style everything. I make sure it looks how it should. I want to stay through the start of cocktail, so I know that dinner service started well. But they have two staff members of mine who are here start to finish. One is a food and beverage manager, and she's only focusing on kitchen, bar, servers, you know, service as a whole.
Which is a huge part of the timeline.
Yes. And an operations manager who is handling with their team all setup, takedown, cleanup, vendor loading, logistics of the building.
Got it.
And then I do have a ceremony coordinator who comes with our ceremony fee, and she does the rehearsal with our couples. She's there for about 2 hours or so on the day of the wedding. Get some down the aisle and back and make sure the marriage license is signed correctly. Our couples also do receive a VIP server. So from when they're here doing photos until the end of dinner service, that server is going to make sure that they and bridal party will get, you know, drinks during dinner and hors d'oeuvres during cocktail hour.
I love this.
Some venues call that a butler, and I love it too. It makes everyone feel very special.
But in a non-full service venue, they might have both an operations and a food and beverage manager. Sometimes they might just have one that's combined, and those kind of people like me or the VIP server or the ceremony coordinator are not necessarily part of the scenario. And if that is the case for someone who's planning, I could not imagine doing a wedding without a full service planner if the only staff I was guaranteed at the venue was an operations and maybe a food and beverage person.
That's great. What a wonderful, I mean, it's you've thought of everything there.
A lot of trial and error. I will not take credit that the vision initially.
Yeah.
You learn with every event, every issue, the contract, everything in life that comes up.
Yeah. You learn what works, but sometimes more importantly, you learn what didn't work and how not to do that again.
That's interesting, Christy, because, and David, you might find this interesting too. I know that you answered an email from a listener, Christy, who wrote in a couple days ago, right? That they were deciding on a venue, and that there was a brand new venue that was awesome, gorgeous, but it would literally be first wedding they did.
But it was owned by a company that had successfully opened and operated other venues.
And
that made me feel like, as a planner, if I were their planner, that would make me a lot more confident in their business prowess, basically.
But they don't have a planner, right? The people who emailed
in. I don't think
so.
Or do you know that? Why she was concerned, or like, what are the red flags? And, you know, we've all heard those nightmare stories of people that booked venues and paid for them, and then they show up and there's like tape over the door and it's like, oh, we're closed. I mean, just total planner nightmare.
But this is an interesting topic, David, just because you know, thinking about people coming to you and being in maybe the negotiation phase of the contract, you know, this couple who wrote into us has great, I don't want to use the word power, but leverage, let's say, in negotiating pricing, because this is the first time, you know, opening of the venue, and the venue obviously wants to get to the point where they have the experience, right? Whereas you are at a venue, and with so many years of experience, you're a well-oiled machine, and you have so much attention to detail that you are paying for all of that when you're getting married at Plantera.
Yeah, you know, what I love about the Detroit area in the last 5 years, so many fantastic spaces have opened up. A lot of industrial spaces, some historic spaces, some new kind of pop-ups. And a lot of our couples, because they want something unique, it's less likely they're going to meet with me and then go to their parents' country club. We're just typically not attracting a couple who that's necessarily in their vision. But that great loft space or that, you know, converted factory, those types of things are kind of on their radar. And most of those spaces, at least in the Detroit area, they rent you a really amazing space for a certain fee. Some of them are a little more inclusive than others, but generally you're going to find your caterer, potentially a liquor license, find all of your rentals. Some might have tables and chairs, some might not. Your lighting person, your florist, valet, security. And it's a lot of work. And there's a really amazing appeal of building a space from the ground up. But we all know that that has a cost, typically a significant cost. And they're probably going to spend the same amount with us, if not more, in those spaces. But because what they see initially is, oh, the facility fee is $5,000. They haven't processed everything else. Now, if they sat down with a full service planner, the first thing they would do is really give them a realistic budget for what that looks like in that space. But there are a lot of couples in Detroit. There is a certain kind of Midwest pragmatic, we can do things on our own mentality here, where they'll take on a raw space on their own.
Wow.
That's not a daunting challenge. It's just like par for the course.
Yeah. I mean, we all know if you're doing an event in a raw space, that is a challenging task for someone who has experience.
Yeah. And we love it as planners because it gives us something to like chew on. But if you're, you know, working at a bank 5 days a week and then you have your softball league on the weekends, like the time, you just might not have it. For all you softball playing bankers out there, think about that.
I'm like, I don't even think about softball. Where do you, are you playing softball?
Guys like my husband are in softball leagues. Yes. It's a bunch of guys in their 40s and they don't run as fast and they all have a little bit of a gut, but they play softball and they love it. And that's that. Yes.
David, what that do you do for fun?
Honestly, my partner and I do a ton of wining. We love it.
Wait, as in drinking or complaining?
Well, why not complain? No, drinking a lot of wine. The Detroit food scene is really amazing right now. It's really experiencing huge growth. A lot of both grassroots people who are doing great things and urban farming, and also people from other locations, you know. Even though property value and the cost of living have probably increased over the last few years in Detroit, if you are a creative person, if you're an entrepreneurial person, it's still so much less than either of the coasts, than even like in Austin, than, you know, in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So you can sort of really experiment, kind of, you know, cut your teeth here, do something really amazing. And relatively speaking, it's not that expensive. So we've seen on the restaurant and bar scene, the most amazing things pop up in the last 3 or 4 years where you can just kind of, you know, hit downtown Detroit Sunday morning and go till Sunday night and have amazing food, amazing drinks, you know, pop-up art markets. It's a really great vibe right now.
That sounds awesome.
That sounds fun. I want to go.
Yeah, Detroit, give us a reason.
Detroit, bring us out. WMC. Hey, David, what's your average? Do you know the average wedding budget in Detroit? It sounds, since your F&B minimum is 17 and a half, it sounds like it's probably a bit lower than, you know, definitely than San Francisco.
Oh, for sure. You know, our average wedding for 100 people is probably, for what they're spending with us, around 35. And I would say all in, they're probably around 50. Typical for the Detroit area, it's probably more like all in 30, 35.
Oof, that's good.
But Detroit, that's kind of good. Like New Jersey, has this like massive amount of like banquet halls. So there is a contingent in the Detroit area with a kind of like kind of family style or buffet style banquet hall where the culinary is not always as big a part of the experience. There is some of that kind of latent still in the Detroit area, although it is changing a bit. So that kind of, I think, skews it down a little bit. And I do think there's this DIY thing in the Detroit area still where I think across the board, couples are probably not spending as much on floral and decor and rentals as they do in other markets.
And wedding season for us here in the Bay Area, or I'm in Mexico but right now, but in San Francisco, wedding season for us is April through October. I heard you mention earlier June was kind of toward the end of your wedding season. Did I hear that right?
For us in particular. So one of the
For Plantera.
Is that in the middle of January, it could be Mexico City. But we are not air conditioned. So our event season is Labor Day, finishing on June 15th, and then we take the summer off in terms of hosting events.
Oh my gosh. That's because of, you're in a greenhouse.
Correct. And so, you know, July in Detroit is probably 85 degrees. So it's the same temperature inside as outside in our space in the summer. So it's just a touch warm. But in the middle of January, during, like, we had like negative 20 degree temperature this winter. And inside of our space was like 70 degrees.
Oh my God, David, wait, you're a wedding professional who actually has the summers off?
Well, we do a lot of preparation and floral samples and things for the fall, which is really busy. Michigan, the fall is probably even busier than like summer, spring. But no, we do. I actually have a social life in the summer.
Good for you.
That is, wow. Wow, David, that's very unique.
Anyone you know, they can't ever see me, you know, on a weekend during, you know, peak season. Like my one friend, she's like, okay, after June 15th, we can do the bonfires. I'm like, I'm there.
You have to hit up all your bottomless brunches in July and August.
Wow. Okay, that's cool. All right, so I want to make sure we go through everything here. So we talked about basically how, you know, what you need to focus on and you know, make sure you're making quick decisions and you know, have things in order if you're going to do a wedding in a short term.
But some of these we haven't mentioned.
Go down the list, David, here. What else have we not mentioned?
I mean, obviously it's not the most fun conversation, but you know, finances are a big part of wedding planning, setting budgets. If you're thinking 12 months out, the initial deposits for venue, for florists, for other vendors might be quite low. And then you have this sort of process at which point, you know, payments kick in. If you're planning 3 months, 4 months out, you know, it could be a 50% deposit on the photographer, maybe more. For us, it's a 50% total value at 120 days out. So just making sure your finances are in order, the money is there and liquid, and readily accessible, that you've given alerts to all of your financial institutions that, you know, all of a sudden out of nowhere, you're doing $15,000, you know, wire transfers.
Yeah.
That is not typically do, you know, on a Tuesday.
Something to think about, because a lot of times people don't have all the money for their wedding up front. Of course, you use credit cards, or you're like, I don't know, our tax refund is going to come in, so we'll use all of that and put it towards, or I'm going to get a bonus. But if you only have 3 months, these vendors want to make sure that they're going to basically get paid, and they don't have 9 months to work with you for it. So mm-hmm. that's why the retainers are going to be bigger, or payment might be due in full much earlier, because it's not early to the vendor. They would, you know, they'd ask for full payment, let's say 30 days out.
Correct.
Yeah. So you might have to just sign contracts and pay in full right at the point where you sign your contract.
Yeah, for us, like I said, it's at a 50% of event total is due at 120 days out. So for a couple who books 12 months out, you know, after the deposit, they sort of have, you know, let's say 6 or 7 months to sort of prepare for that. But if people are booking right away, that initial money due at the time of signing is significantly higher, obviously.
Yeah, I think another pitfall to look into before you decide, like, yeah, we can do this in 3 months, is the guest list, which you have at the top of one of these lists. Have your guest list in order, but you have to be ready to jump on it. Like, you got to be ready to pull the trigger. If you have your list, you know, out, you need to send the invitations kind of immediately so that you have an idea of your exact guest count, because you don't have as much time.
Well, the thing that's really time consuming with a guest list is, like, my sister, for example, she's like, I don't have everybody's
addresses.
I don't have everybody's emails. I'm like, well, call dad, do this. You know, like, that's all very time consuming.
Yeah, people will be like, I'll get back to you. Or your mom's like, what about cousin Freddie? You know, that kind of has to be, like I said, you have to be ready to put some stamps on it and move fast on invitations. So if you're somebody that loves paper and, you know, graphic design and looking at all those designs and ordering the perfect stock and envelope liners and blah, 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 you know, that can take weeks. So it just might, just consider that with your planning timeline. Get those invitations out fast.
I think being prepared that you're going to commit more of your week. I know you kind of touched on that a little bit, but wedding planning might be a little more in the forefront of your schedule if you're planning on a short timeline. You know, we typically do all in about 5 to 6 meetings with our couples leading up to the wedding. That might be crunched down to 3, maybe 4. So really the idea of being prepared to multitask, that it might be that our food and beverage timeline layout floral sample discussion is all one meeting. Or, you know, if the way that our tastings work, you know, the how the couple books, our tastings aren't being scheduled, the group style, it might be a more limited tasting, kind of being open to that. And I think they have to approach and embrace that they're planning in a short time frame. I know you kind of touched base a little bit on that kind of hemming and hawing process. I find that even when a couple has 18 months, I think a lot of people have vision and passion and this kind of like dream of what they would love to see. And after 30 different little Instagram spirals, they end up pretty close to where they started. So I think just going with that gut instinct that you know what you love, you know it represents you as a couple, you know what you love aesthetically, and just kind of rolling with it.
Yeah. Gut instinct is big on this short timeline for sure. And you know if you've got it, you know if you have it together. And then I loved the time-saving techniques that you put together, because some of these I hadn't thought of myself. So let's run down those.
Well, I think absolutely. You brought up a little bit about, you know, print materials. Most of the time we have to think both digital communication and also digital printing. So I think having a digital save the date that can be designed really quickly, blast that to as many people as you have the emails for, you know, private message on Instagram, whatever it takes. Going through potentially an online-based printer where you're going to do a whole suite that might be templated, but you have a lot at your fingertips. I think having a digital RSVP option for your guests, whether that's an email or that's through one of the apps like, you know, The Knot or one of those, so people can communicate to you faster if they can or they cannot attend. And then we always encourage our couples as a whole to do kind of duet style entrees.
Tell us more about that.
So on one main entree for guests, you know, it's a petite filet with shrimp, your starches, your vegetables. And we'll always have that vegan or vegetarian entree. So all the guests knows, or all you're gathering from them, is, you know, dietary restrictions or allergies.
Rather than giving them a menu option, which could take more time, is what you're saying?
Correct. So, you know, if you're doing a short-term planning, short-term sending invites, you need people to RSVP faster. It just leaves a lot of things more open and flexible. Because, you know, with us, technically, a couple does not have to sign off on their menu until 30 days out. However, if you're going to have guests pre-choose, you need to know that before you print. And it's a lot more work on the part of the couple to kind of gather the information, double check it. And then, you know, we require couples who do have guests pre-choose entrees to do the assigned seating with the place card per person with that menu indicator, which also is more time consuming. So doing just one main entree, just knowing who your allergies and, you know, vegans are, streamlines the process, makes the print material process faster, and is a little less involved on the part of the couple.
Yeah, I when you mentioned duets on the phone, I hadn't, I guess, thought about that, how the menu choices can take more time also for, so this just bulks back into that main topic of, like, be decisive and know what you want. So if your vendor, your caterer says, you know, you're doing this in 2 months, you need to probably have a duet, these are X, Y, Z, these are the reasons why, that doesn't throw you, you know, as a couple, you're able to be like, oh, well, we were going to give an option or do family style, but we can shift because the ultimate goal is getting this wedding planned in 3 months. So we're open to, you know, following the vendor's guidelines, like working with vendors you trust so that when they tell you how to do something, you feel comfortable going, okay, that makes sense. Thank you. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't trust your vendors that you hire and you don't have much time, there's going to be a lot of time wasted questioning them.
For sure.
Just maybe speaking to the idea of perfection, since Michelle, you and I have mentioned this on the podcast before, and how when we're working with clients, we don't like to use that word.
Don't use that word. That's a dirty word.
David, how do you feel about, I just want my wedding to be perfect. Make it happen.
I don't like that word. I think for some people, because that term perfect is a shifting term, and they may not even know what that means. On a very just logical side, because we all see process, we see the back of house on events. Perfection is tricky. Delicious food, great service, gorgeous flowers, you know, a couple just feeling that their day was amazing and that they weren't stressed out. Those are all things to strive for, things that are attainable, things that mean something. Mm-hmm. I don't quite know what perfect means.
Yeah.
So if, you know, there were supposed to be 3 salt shakers on the table and there are only 2, technically that's not perfect, but is it important?
Yeah. And if one small detail can derail a person's experience on their own wedding day, there's very little a planner or a professional can do about that. Like, in some ways, that's just the kind of person you are in the world, where maybe one small thing or one minor thing can actually skew your experience of the day. And that's heartbreaking for us, you know, planners that really care about their clients when that happens, because you just want to look them in their eyes and, like, grab their shoulders and be like, please let it go, because all these people are here and they love you and you look amazing and you're marrying the person you love. And, like, you know, all of the back to basics about what a wedding really is.
Yes. Yes. Well, that, I feel like that was a lot of good information. Do you have any other ideas or thoughts that you wanted to put out there, David, before we conclude?
I just think that, you know, regardless of venue and who you're working with, if a planner or not, I think that, you know, as a couple with a venue, with a planner, it's really sitting down prior to a short-term planning and really looking at what that timeline looks like. And from the wedding day working backwards, what are the real deadlines for final decision-making, for final catering counts, for final sign-offs on floral? When do the invitations have to go out? You know, when does that floral sample need to happen? How many dress fittings you need to fit in that time? And sometimes just the simple bulleting of that into a planning deadline timeline, it clarifies everything for everyone involved. But I think that is a good indicator for a couple, because if they look at that and they're not confident they can do it, they want to do it, they're kind of excited by it. If it's apprehension and stress, it's just setting the planner up, the venue, the couple for failure. Not being a joyous experience for them.
Yeah. Very good, David. Thank you so much for being on our show and talking to our listeners and giving these awesome tips and for really putting so much thought as a wedding professional. I really do appreciate you and Plantera and what you all do, and, you know, take pride and put thought into people's events. It's something that not everyone does in this business. So kudos to you.
Our pleasure.
Following you on social media also for Plantera. What are those links?
So for Plantera, it is Plantera Conservatory on Instagram. And then my Instagram is actually DLDV 1981. So predominantly it's still Plantera work because I do 90% of my work here. But I just sometimes focus on things a little differently than Plantera as a whole.
Wait, what is it again?
DLDV underscore 1981. So it's my initial date of birth.
Oh, I am following you already. Yeah,
oh,
the
yeah,
flowers.
We're following you. Oh, gorge. Yes. Excellent. Lovely. So wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you again, David.
Thank you. Enjoy your trip.
Thanks.
Thank you. I will.
Bye.
You guys, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. On Instagram, it's at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Facebook and Twitter is TBWP Podcast. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. There at the top, we have a tab for a mailing list. So if you put your email, then you'll get updates, and we're working on curating more for that. We also have some big announcements coming up for some more social media outreach that we're doing, and we'll have more opportunities for you to connect with us. But for now, the best way to reach us if you have any questions or comments is to email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram.
Or call us and leave us a message at 415-723-1625.
And if you love listening to us and we're helping you to plan that wedding, you can contribute by becoming a patron on patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. And we also offer consulting, which we love to do. And all you have to do is email us and we'll get the ball rolling on that. Some hours one-on-one for us to give you some wedding therapy and answer some very specific questions and help you through the process in any way we can. That's it.
Very good. Thank you all so much. Happy planning. Christy, love you. Love your show.
Bye.
Bye.